What a shake in my brothers and sisters here in the Electric Ballroom. It's your pal Keith Roth. Hope you're having a great weekend, and I'll be joined in a few minutes from longtime listeners know all too well, Mark Voger, a guy that's been on the show many times, legendary journalist who's covered the Electric Ballroom going back to the 90s and been on the show for some of the great books he's put out. And I think this one really tops it all, especially if you're a fan of the British invasion, Britmania, the British invasion of the 60s and pop culture. And nobody captures the timeline of pop culture for that era than Mark Voger. I mean, this book is just beautiful. I mean, with interviews with members of the Stones and the Beatles and the Kinks and the Animals and all the cool ads that were going on back then and the board games and the comic books. He really paints a picture of the timeline, especially if you grew up in it. So that just came out, Britmania, the British invasion of the 60s in pop culture. We'll be discussing that, playing a lot of great music from that timeline as well. Also, many of us absolutely heartbroken over the passing of Jeff Beck. I know Mark has interviewed Jeff Beck in the past. We'll definitely talk about some of those interviews, and always great having Mark Voger. So why don't we play the Yardbirds right now, the first single that Jeff Beck played on, and then Mark Voger be joining the party here in the Electric Ballroom.
Hi, my name's Chris Dre. I'm from the Yardbirds, and you are listening to Keith on the amazing Electric Ballroom.
That was Heart Full of Soul from the Yardbirds in the Electric Ballroom, joined by my old buddy, my good friend, the one, the only, Mark Voger.
Keith Roth, how are you? It was great to hear that song again, that fuzzy guitar. It's so 60s, and it's him. It's the first hit that he had with the Yardbirds.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think I might have been the first song he recorded with the Yardbirds.
Wow, I knew it was their first hit, and they were in flux because they Eric Clapton left them abruptly, and they wanted Jimmy Page, and Jimmy Page like called Jeff Beck over and played him a live Yardbirds blues and said, "What do you think of this guy?" And his first time Jeff Beck ever heard Eric Clapton, and he said, "Oh, that's really good," you know. And anyway, one thing led to another, and Heart Full of Soul.
What about that scene in Blow Up where he goes ballistic with smashing the guitar?
Yeah, I spoke with Jeff Beck about that. I interviewed him twice, and also Jim McCarty. The funniest thing about that was that the director, the famous Italian director, good Lord, it's all leaving me. He probably wanted The Who. He liked the destruction of The Who. He got the Yardbirds, and he said, "I want you to smash your guitars, even though you don't do that, Antonioni." So Jeff Beck had the honors, and it's really hilarious that everybody in the audience is like a zombie. They're not reacting at all. Until Jeff Beck throws them the useless shards that used to be a guitar. And then they all go nuts.
Jeff told you the story.
Jeff was mostly talking about like what it did for their career and how long it took to shoot it. It took like a whole week. But McCarty was saying that Antonioni actually supplied them with like acoustic guitars to smash as practice. So it's pretty hilarious. Like they just couldn't get The Who, I guess.
I mean, seeing Keith Relf and, those guys just going to town. I mean, that was a great performance. I probably saw it in the 70s, but, that had a major, major impact on me. And, of course, I think it was seeing that bit, which, we'll get to your new book, Britmania, really captures the whole British invasion scene. But I think that film and that scene and that movie really kind of, showed what was going on in that revolution. Like, you want to be a part of that, shall we say?
Yeah. And McCarty said that was really a club that they used to play in London, but they recreated it like 2 hours north of London. And what's great about that scene, I don't have to tell you, is that encapsulates, like it shows you Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck together on the stage,
And the funny thing about Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck is Beck Bolero, they got, arguments or, disputes about who wrote it, because it was Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck and Keith Moon and John Paul Jones, really the first original Led Zeppelin session. But, before they got Robert in the band and Bonzo, but I don't know if it got legal. But the good thing about those, their friendship, is they could put the legal stuff to the side and go out and play together and have fun. And, when it was business, it was business. They were able to always have that separation throughout their friendship.
Yeah. And it was a friendship that preceded both of their careers because of the story of Jeff Beck's older sister finding out that in the same neighborhood was a boy, 17-year-old boy, just like Jeff, who is obsessed with music and obsessed with the guitar. So she brought her kid brother up, knocked on the door and said, "I'll bet you two would make good friends." And it went on for a lifetime. It's actually Jimmy Page who I feel most sorry for as far as the grieving, because he really was a lifelong friend.
I mean, since they were children.
Yeah.
And Jeff Beck's older sister was the one that really brought him to the door, realized that these two were two peas in a pod and they should be together.
Yes. Her name was Arnetta.
Arnetta.
And that was a moment in rock and roll history. Yeah. I mean, I think Jeff Beck was holding a handmade guitar, because those guys, you know, they didn't have money. They used to make their own guitars. Roger Daltrey's first guitars were handmade, you know, so, you know, homemade.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story. I wonder if Arnetta is still with us.
You know, I have no idea, but I was lucky enough to have seen the ARMS benefit concert in 1983 at the Garden.
I remember. Yeah, yeah. I was in school, but I do remember the show.
Yeah, well, I remember as much of the show as I can, Keith.
But, you were in a different zone mentally than Mark?
Man, I was in a different plane of existence. But but no, I remember some things cold. And to see, you know, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, and Eric Clapton share a stage and play Layla together. I mean, it was crazy talk.
Now, I remember about that ARMS thing. I think Jimmy Page was in the height of his heroin addiction at that point, right? I mean, people were really concerned about his health because he looked like he weighed 110 pounds. Was it very frail?
Yeah, I think it was his first time out, and it led to the firm because Paul Rodgers was on that tour also. But I remember Page not playing very well. He did an instrumental version of Stairway to Heaven, and I do remember he got as lost as I was. I remember he got lost in the song, and mm-hmm. I was saying to the on the ride home in the train, I was like, he f***ed that up, and they're all like, no, he never said anything. Oops,
that's okay. I'll edit that out. I'll clean that up. People know what you said, though, Mark.
Yeah.
And, it's always good hanging out with Mark Voger, you know, renowned journalist. We were talking before. He put out, I guess this is your sixth book, Britmania, right? The British invasion of the 60s and pop culture. You know, one thing about your book is if people were really there and they read this book and they see all the great old advertisements and all the, you know, and you always have the right people that were major part of the scene, the hipsters and the great interviews. They either say, wow, this is just a great journey back in time, or damn, I wish I grew up in this time. That's what your books do.
Yeah. And I think that people who weren't alive then might get something out of it. This isn't a hard sell. It's uncanny how fans of the Beatles are yet unborn. And, like a new generation is always attracted to this kind of music without parental prodding. And they also kind of like the harder edge bands, also like The Who, The Animals, The Yardbirds. You know, they go for those bands because, like, in their beginnings, like the first Who songs and the first Yardbird songs and Animal songs, they sound kind of raw, almost like punk rock, you know. So
they were punk rock.
At its time, it was punk rock, yeah.
I mean, you talk to any punk rock band, the Ramones, Generation X, they'll tell you that their earliest influences were always the Kinks and the Who.
Yeah.
You know, those two specifically because the dirtiness of Townsend and Dave Davies playing. But, you know, your book is gorgeous as always. I mean, this is just a beautiful book, you know, and I know how you and your brother were obsessed with culture, pop culture of the times. I mean, what was it like in the Voger house in the 60s? And, you know, I mean, did you see the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, the whole thing?
Well, yeah, that's I shouldn't have, but I did. What happened was I was 5 years old, so I was way too young to be aware of anything. And I was probably watching Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. Our backdoor babysitter, she and a couple girlfriends were there to watch the Beatles. Her father would not change the channel because there was a game on. So they ran across our backyards, banged on the door, let us in, let us in. And so there I am in my pajamas, 5 years old, and there's three girls screaming at the television. And I do not know what the hell's going on. But I saw the Beatles.
That's amazing. I bet you were like, you know, even at 5 years old, you were aware of these three lovely ladies at your abode and, you know, screaming. You're like, look, this is the way these girls are reacting. You know, playing, man, I gotta do this.
Now you give me much more credit. I was just looking at them saying, what's wrong with them? You know, yeah. You know, like, but later on it seeped in. I remember also being confused because they marketed, and this is talked about in Britmania a lot, they marketed the Beatles to children. There was Beatle bubble bath toys and lunch boxes and dolls, you know, but after a while, the Beatles were no longer kid friendly. Like I noticed that they were growing their hair long and they were like singing about LSD. And it was just like, it was very confusing to come of age at that time. Until it all finally clicked.
Right. What was the first record that you bought? Was it right shortly after that? Were you, like, hey, mom, buy me this Beatles record? Or was it, you know, because you're 5 years old. Was that a little bit too young for you at that point?
Oh, yeah, that was too young. But the radio, they were on the radio all the time. And another kind of cool thing that happened was my parents used to throw these boozy parties on a Saturday night.
Oh, of course. The classic, you know, Sergio Mendes, the soundtrack, the whole thing.
So 60s, you know, and mostly it'd be like Al Hurt songs or whatever. But a younger couple.
Would you say Al?
Al Hurt. He was a trumpeter.
Okay.
His song was called Java. But anyway, he also played the Green Hornet theme. But anyway, a younger couple came to the party one night and brought a Beatles album, and they left. They forgot the album. They never showed up again. So from then on, we would be listening from our bunk beds upstairs. When my parents would throw a boozy party, after everybody was liquored up, they would throw the Beatles album on, and we could hear them dancing and laughing their heads off. So it was like they got into the Beatles, whether they admit it or not.
Unbelievable. Was that Meet the Beatles?
No, it was an album that nobody ever cites. It was called Something New. It was like one of those Capitol compilations, you know? But it did have the German language version of I Want to Hold Your Hand. So that's the song that I grew up listening to was, you know, Come Give Me Mein Der, you know, like whatever it was, whatever right, John right. Lennon was singing, you know. And I highly recommend it to ballroom listeners. Find the German language version of I Want to Hold Your Hand.
And you said the record was called Something New.
The album is something called Something New.
Well, here's something interesting, because I was in your hometown of Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, and we were at the Philadelphia Record Exchange. We were playing a gig over at Kung Fu Necktie. I was playing with Soraya. So after soundcheck, we went to the Philadelphia Record Exchange, and they were playing Something New in the record store. And I heard the German version, and there was no cover. And the guy who owns the Philadelphia Record Exchange, if it's still there, made, you know, grabbed one of those blank white covers and drew the most beautiful thing. And he said, you know, and they put it on the wall while we were there. And like, you know, what are you selling that for? And it was like $25. Mostly for his artwork, one of the owners of the Philly Record Exchange. And now this was in your hometown of Philly, right down the street from the Kung Fu Necktie, which is interesting that you're telling the story. Maybe that was the record, Mark. Maybe that was the actual record that was there. Stranger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, sure. I mean, who knew? I mean, like, the fact that we both have Something New anecdotes. Nobody on earth ever says, my favorite Beatles album is Something New.
Well, it's not my favorite, but I had a Something New experience and not very long ago. That's weird, pretty amazing. Man. It's amazing. Are you wearing a Backstreet Crawler shirt, by the way?
Yeah. And only Keith Roth would know that.
The great Paul Kossoff.
The great Paul Kossoff. It's in my bloodstream.
Unbelievable. Well, we're just getting started here. It's Keith Roth, Mark Voger, and Mark, of course, helped pick out the tunes, you know, electric ballroom style to coincide with his great book that's out there, Britmania, The British Invasion of the 60s Pop Culture. You know, since with all I talk about the Beatles, I guess we'll go into the Beatles right now.
You were kind enough to ask me to pick a few tracks. I was going to go with...
I asked you to pick 8 tracks. Well, you know, we're keeping themes and schemes here, brother.
It's themes and schemes, baby. I thought I Want to Hold Your Hand or I Saw Her Standing There is more appropriate to the Britmania era. But the fact is, I do cover the aftermath, and they always reinvented themselves. So I just thought, let's go in the complete opposite direction. Helter Skelter.
Mark Voger, my co-host here in the Electric Ballroom.
You're listening to Keith on the Electric Ballroom. This is Jack Douglas.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide.